Our website is hamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the 2008 Deliverance Ministers Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
This is Wednesday evening, October the 29th, 2008. Chris Simpson is the speaker of the service, teaching on deliverance from religious spirits.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
He prefers mercy over judgment. And if you give him a chance, he'll give mercy. If you give us a chance, we'll judge. We'll indict, we'll castigate, we'll cast out, like Simon. And Jesus seemed to be surrounded by people that were low-life scum, filth.
But he said to that woman, you love much. You're forgiven much. You see the heart of Jesus? The heart of Jesus. I've learned the heart of Jesus because I've had the whatever stuffing kicked out of me. Big time. And I saw this summer, I went through the greatest hell of my life. I'm not going to go into it at the time, but I actually saw heaven in a vision. Jesus appeared to me in a hospital room as I was dying with cancer this summer, given 6 months to live. And Jesus appeared to me. I saw him and he was angry. I saw his face. You don't ever want to see me. I don't. And I repented with a capital R. And then I had a vision of heaven, and I saw blue skies, and I saw these angels. And what I realized is I heard the angels going, holy, holy. I'm watching right there, and this half my wife's in the bathroom, blow-drying her hair while this is going on. It's an open vision. Holy. And I realized, as I looked at heaven, that there's no way I could get in. It was too holy for me. I mean, I'm sitting there going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't ever get in there. It's too holy for me. I'm freaking out. It reminded me of Isaiah 6. It really was an Isaiah 6 experience. He says, my eyes have seen the Lord. Whoa, it's me. I'm unclean. I'm surrounded by unclean people. And then the angel of the Lord, remember that? He took that, and God did that the next morning. I woke up and there was this vision of living water flowing out of my stomach. Flowing out of my stomach. Gosh, you know, I never forgot. I woke up to that. Dude. But I realized something. The only way I'm ever going to get to heaven is His mercy. It ain't me. His love and His mercy. I am not. I realize my works are filth. It's His mercy and love. And it's not guaranteed. I mean, the fear of the Lord hit me. I realized, oh man. And I'm telling you, I actually saw that you cannot get in there unless you're holy. Dude, I mean, I never understood what that meant, and I've got that on me now. I mean, I'm just walking a lot of fear of the Lord. Amen? That is a privilege to have seen. Break that demon. Let's bring this to a close. So, he spoke against him in his heart. The third thing is Simon spoke against Jesus in his heart. You know what's interesting? Who did he speak against? The woman? Isn't it interesting that he was speaking against Jesus, even though it was the woman causing the problem? The truth is, judgmentalism towards others is really judgmentalism towards God. When you're not vertically aware of God's mercy, you're not horizontally moved in mercy to those around you. Look at Mark 10:35. Are y'all hearing this tonight? This is a big spirit. We need to get it because I know everyone here, I would imagine, the reason you're here is because you love people and want to lay your life down to help people. And you've got to have the wherewithal about this spirit. Because if you're not cognizant and discerning of this spirit, you're treading water with people. And some of y'all are dealing with ecclesiastical authorities of churches. You're wrestling with these spirits in churches. Guys, your flesh, your enemy is not that preacher or that pastor or whoever. Your enemy is a demon. When you see the spirit, then you can have compassion on the one in bondage. Tell you what, for time's sake, let's skip that one. Let's look at Mark 14. I'm going to look at the last. This is going to close it up. Mark 14:3. Another example. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, Jesus sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spike, and very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. Says, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why are you troubling her? She's wrought a good work on me. Now, you know, another gospel tells us that that was Judas. Now, this shows how the demon operates. You ready? I want to show you how it operates. Judas judged her actions, you ready, as inappropriate. Now, Judas was a thief. And so he would judge when it came to objects of value. Right? Right there, he was illustrating externally his inward sin. Because his inward covetousness was manifesting on outward judgmentalism from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then he judged her motives. In fact, he got angry. What does it say? It says in verse 4, some had indignation. Literally, he got angry. And I wrote here, that's a sign of an inner critical spirit, the anger. And then he covered his judgmentalism with religious concern. Oh, we could have had it for the poor. He knew Jesus had a thing for the poor. You know, Master, look at all the poor people. Look at him. Jesus looked right through that. You ever been at a prayer meeting? Somebody says, oh, we need to pray for Sister so-and-so. She's fallen into that thing again. That sin again. Come on, you ever been in a meeting and somebody say something like that? You know what that is? That's witchcraft, man. We need to pray for Sister so-and-so. You have no business telling everybody about Sister so-and-so that fell into sin. We cover things with religious concern. We're really judging Sister so-and-so. We want everybody to know she's fallen, but we'll kind of do it religiously. That's wickedness, man. Because Sister so-and-so just got smeared. And you know what? God hates those that sow discord amongst the brethren. So the result was the poor woman felt put down and rejected. Can you imagine? She's sitting there pouring this alabaster box, worshiping Jesus, wasting herself, one other gospel says. And this man's just angry at her. Rawr, and just basically saying, what a waste. Listen, this is all going on in front of Jesus. He's watching this. And I want to show you, he will not sit idly by when one devoted to him is judged by a religious spirit. Listen, he will not sit idly by when one devoted to him is judged by a religious spirit. His only standard, Jesus was to love that woman, period, love. Let's consider her, his response. What did he say? First thing he says, let her alone. That was a command. It was a rebuke. The second thing is, why are you troubling her? Almost like saying to Judas, you need to look at your motives. You got greed. What's the big deal with the alabaster box? Why is that pushing your buttons, Judas? Not pushing any of the other guys. What do we have here? Hello? The greed guy is the one that gets upset with the waste. See? You can't hide what you are. And then the third thing, she's worked a good work in me. You know, he says, I see your heart. You know, I wrote here, Jesus has enormous grace for people. He could see past the outward for the inner love that she had for him. I'm convinced when we get into heaven, we're going to be really surprised who's at the front of the line. Amen? Look at verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him. When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought how to move. You know, if you compare these renderings, now we know why Judas betrayed Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hollywood tells you all these things. Well, Judas betrayed Jesus after Jesus rebuked Judas for this thing he did to this woman. He immediately went. I think he'd been mulling about it, but that was the last straw. See, he wouldn't hear correction, so he went to betray the corrector. Did you hear what I said? Shoot the messenger. How many times they did that to Moses? Right? Jesus confronted the judgmentalism at the cost of his own life. Jesus knew if he said this to Judas, it would push Judas over the edge and he'd go and betray him and he would die. But he was willing to do it to defend this woman's honor. You hearing me? That's important to Jesus. So with us, he will rise to your defense and vindicate you from people that judge you. And you will be judged when you follow Jesus and do the works of Jesus Christ. And particularly when you get rid of legalism. You know how Paul ends the book of Galatians? The book of Galatians is the manual on getting rid of legalism. It is the manual of getting rid of legalism. The whole book of Galatians. Okay? You were called to Eleutheria in the Greek. It's liberty. Unrestrained freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the... That's unrestrained freedom. Look it up in the Greek. And you know how Paul ends... He talks about crucifixion now. You know how he ends the book of Galatians? He says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul suffered awesome persecution because if you look at the book of Acts, he dared to go into that enclave of religious Jewish Christian legalism and preach pure grace. And you look at Corinthians and Romans, he really rebuts Acts 15. Acts 15 is when they came together and James said, okay, we ought to, you know, for the Gentiles, but let's give them four things. You know, that they not drink things, eat things strangled, or drink, eat the blood, or eat meat. What was the other one? Or fornication. The fourth thing. And if you read it carefully in Corinthians and Romans, there are certain, it's almost like Paul said, look, yeah, and he addresses fornication two or three chapters. He addresses each one of those things. It's almost like, and in fact, in Galatians, he was so passionate that the rock himself, Peter, started to get a little bit legalistic, and he jumped on him, and that isn't bad enough. He puts it in the epistle, and we read about it today. It's one thing to get rebuked, isn't it? Another thing to have it written down in the Bible. And for thousands of years, we still talk about how the day Peter ate ham sandwiches, you know. You know, because he was embarrassed in James 2. But Paul, he was so passionate to preach freedom of grace and to get legalism out. To break the, pull the tree and the knowledge out of the bones, out of the DNA. So that it's Jesus plus anything is done. Paul says, now use your liberty, not for occasion of the flesh, but agape doulos. Use that glorious liberty. Okay, you're free. Now, be a bond slave to love. Isn't that interesting? When you're really free, now be a bondslave. Yeah. You got to get free to wash your toilet. Amen? You got to be free in Jesus Christ to spend all the story of these galley slaves. They would sell their soul, become a slave on the galley ships to leave. You got to be free to sell yourself as a slave. That's why we got to be free, so we can be servants to all. Two places. Romans 14. I promise you, two places we're done. Romans 14, just to tie it up. We're finished with the stories. Tie it up with two more principles and we're done. Romans 14, 10. This is where Paul really summates it. Listen to these verses real careful after what I've said. Romans 14, 10. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue will confess to God. So then every one of us will give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. This is a remarkable picture of Paul's total freedom from the law, legalism, and external standards. As a result, he had no inner standards to tempt him to judge, despise, compare, or resent. So I would submit the way of escape. How do we get free? Is cry out to Jesus for grace in your mind, heart, and soul. The more grace, the less laws and standards you live by. To judge others by. And how does grace come? The last place we're going to look, Hebrews 12:14. How does grace come? Hebrews 12:14. You know, Norman is my apostolic covering. And last night at 9:12, he made the comment that he just needed to go a little bit longer in his preaching. And I'm just following the leadership of my authority. Can you hear me now? I'm almost done. Hebrews, this is it. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fall from or fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let me tell you how you can get free. It's real simple. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to do what? And what? It's just confess it to Jesus. That's all it is. Just confess your pride and your legalism and your judgmentalisms and your standards and your despisings and your resentment. Just confess it and say, Jesus, I really don't want this in my life. I want, when I get bumped, what comes out is mercy and compassion. Mercy comes as you truly repent. Mercy means not getting what you deserve. Grace means getting what you don't deserve. And as grace increasingly grows, you become evident. You know how you know somebody's really maturing in the Lord? They're less judgmental. They're far quicker to look at the 2x4 in their eye. Because you know what's interesting? A lot of times the speck in your brother's eye is nothing but the reflection of the 2x4 in yours. You pull it out, suddenly their eye's clear. So really, what is the answer? We're going to pray, and I would submit, we're going to pray and confess, and then I want to break the curse of legalism off us. Me too. And then I would submit, guys, seek deliverance from the roots of the system. You know, Brother Noel, here's a pitch. They have that wonderful book on rejection, Becky. Yours today for $25, right? That is one. My wife's got it. Her Koinonia group, they're going through it. She discovered it. We were out of town, and she's telling me, I've read through it, but that is a wonderful book talking about the root system of a lot of this stuff. Go through that or get some deliverance, man. You know, praise God. And to me, deliverance is you get brothers and sisters around you and mature. Let them operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Let them move and discern against words of knowledge or quickenings. And we see deliverance as a process. You don't get everything in one session. You know, sit down and we call them link sessions. Sit down and then go back a couple weeks later and let them pray for you and get more revelation. Go deeper and deeper. And you'll get free, man. You'll mature in Christ. Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. It's true. It's a two-edged sword. And we all want to just walk like Jesus walked. We just want to be like you, Lord. And when we're really honest, we are pretty far away from that. When we're really honest. And Lord, if we think we're anywhere near you, that's the beginning of our major deception. For you are God, and you are light, and you are truth, and you are perfect. And oh, Jesus, truth is, the more we grow, the more longer we walk with you, the more we realize how spotted we are. Even the elders at the end threw their crowns at your feet and said, you are worthy. Oh, Jesus, we just confess right now. Lord, I want to ask you right now, confess to Jesus anything the Holy Ghost brought up as I was sharing. Any area of sin or despising, judgmentalism, pride, self-righteousness, haughtiness, arrogance, thinking you're better than somebody, bad-mouthing people, gossip, you know, all of these things. Just confess it to Jesus. Just say, Lord, forgive me. The Holy Ghost nailed me tonight. I needed to be nailed. He loves you. Get off your high horse. Jesus. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Anybody you've judged, lay it at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, there's one judge giver, one lawgiver, and you are the judge, and I'm not the judge. I may see sin, I may see wickedness, I may see failing and falling, but you're the judge. Give me a heart of compassion and mercy. A brokenness that there but for the grace of God go I. Oh, Jesus. Help us not have to go through that to learn that. Help us to be wise. You don't have to make it go where we're going through the same horror to finally learn not to judge. Ashindala. Jesus. Just confess it to the Lord. Be honest with Him, man. You actually will avoid a whole lot of pain in your life when you're real about this stuff. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit. Talasita. Why don't y'all say this after me? Jesus, please restructure my life any way that's pleasing to you, to put me in an environment where I'm free from self-deception, pride, and thinking I'm better than others. Bring people into my life that will help me know that but for the grace of God, I'm as bad as anybody else. Break me, Jesus, for I'd rather fall on the stone and be broken than to have the stone fall on me and grind me to a powder. Now let's just give Him thanks. Let's just thank Him. God heard your voice, man. Lord, we worship you tonight. We thank you. We want to know the meek and lowly Jesus. The Jesus that washed the feet of his disciples. The Jesus that was man of no reputation, didn't care, was cast out scorn, spoke evil of. He didn't care. He just cared about his relationship with the Father. Help us, Jesus. Break all the religious trappings, Father. Lord, deliver us that we will be pure and righteous. And when we stand before you in judgment, there will be none of this junk on us, Lord. You'll be able to just kneel before you with a crown and lay it at your feet. And there'll be no, Lord Jesus, that we would be pure now and righteous and meek and lowly and broken and undercut and rout around the demons and so many believers, the religious spirit that rules churches and denominations and families and come, Lord, have mercy on our soul. Shed light. Let us not doubt in the dark what we heard in the light tonight. May it burn it, emblazon it on our spirit. Put it deep, Lord. Let the fowls of the air not pluck these seeds, so that when we go forth, it'll manifest in our mind the righteousness of holiness and purity and humility, which is in the sight of God of great price. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, I break, I cancel, I annul, I loose, I cut off, I command to cease to operate every spirit of religion over the saints tonight in this room, in Jesus' name. Every religious spirit. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I command you to cease operation. I break your authority over their minds, hearts, emotions. I break the occult, the witchcraft, the satanic, the rooted in rejection and abandonment. I take that spirit. I take the authority of that religious spirit over us in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name over our emotions and minds and hearts. Take a deep breath over me. You tell that thing to go in Jesus' name. Go. 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 Come on. Tell it to go. Anything the Holy Ghost put his finger on, say, you tell it to go. 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 Resist the devil, he'll flee. Come on, go. Come on. You psychic spirit, you snake spirit. I take the power off the minds of them. In the name of Jesus. You lying, torturing, kabashing, that kundalini demon. I take you in Jesus' name. That prideful, haughty Hindu spirit. I take its power in Jesus' name. I yes, Shondaloma. God is one. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is only. He is the only way. The only truth. I break the spirit of universalism. Somehow the notion that there's something other than Jesus is the way to eternal life. I take that lying New Age cult spirit. I take its power in Jesus' name. I pray for sharp discernment, Lord. Discernment. We not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. Let's see if you get advantage. Sharpen us our sword of discernment, O Lord. In our own life and the lives of others. Jesus. Jesus. Now, Lord, there's a verse that says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Lord, I pray you'd send your spirit right now and go way down to the DNA substructure of our being and begin to pull out the roots of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just begin to pull it out of our very substance, O Lord.
that notion that somehow we got to be good enough and beating ourselves up when we're bad. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. I extricate you. I extricate you from every cell in Jesus' name. I take it. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. I take the power of the curse of the forbidden tree. I take its power in the name of Jesus. And the snake that's attracted to that. I take it. I annul the power of law, of right and wrong, of good and evil. I take its power. And the snake that's attached to that. We take you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Thrust that thing. See, all it is Satan's trying to tell you you're God. All judging is like Satan said to Eve. Want to be like God? You know, try the tree. It's the same thing. When you judge, want to be like God? Look at them. They're not right. They're wrong. Good and evil. That's all it is. It's the same old fallacy. Vayishandu. Now let's just give thanks and I want to speak a blessing. You know, why don't we stand? Why don't we all stand? Father, I pray right now to send angels and just seal what you've done. Just put a bunch of angels around each one here. Lord, all those watching, Father, in Jesus' name, on the webcast, on everyone that's going to watch on the DVD at some point, I just pray that same anointing just flow through the media and the seal in Jesus' name. Angelic anointing and protection. Now, I bind any demonic spirit that would hinder and block us and rob us of a good night's sleep. I pray for a good, deep sleep tonight. We rise up in the morning, ready to serve the Lord another day. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. 6 a.m. morning prayer. Breakfast at 8. Breakfast at 7:30. God bless you. Go in peace. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.